gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Has gone insane.
Yep.
Officially over the weekend.
Yep.
The I had to remind me, by the way, here's a rule of thumb, because when I TiVo Meet the Press, do not watch Wayne LaPierre before I go to work.
No.
You talk about how we need more good guys with guns. That's the problem once again in the Navy Yard, is not enough, you see, guns.
Because it was on a military installation.
By the way, that's working out really well in Kenya right now as we speak, where it's the world has indeed gone insane.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, horrible, horrible, horrible stuff. Oh, and by the way, the Republicans here in America, of course, are getting ready to do worse than the terrorists can even dream of doing to us. Probably, you know, shutting down our government.
Sure.
And, to defund Obamacare, which, by the way, includes mental health care. Somebody wrote a great piece about how Wayne LaPierre ought to be all over that.
Yeah.
Promoting the Affordable Care Act, right? Right?
Yeah.
Wayne? Oh, I can't. I just can't watch him. He makes my literally steam out of the top of my head. All right. So lots to get to today. Our usual Eric Bollard and Rude Pundit. By the way,
what?
I also feel worse today. Why?
Why?
You know why? Because you came over to do tech support yesterday.
I did.
We had to fix a bunch of computer stuff in my house.
Yeah.
And so when you're going through trying to get passwords for stuff.
And they ask you to set up
privacy
a security question.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and that is designed to make you feel even worse
about
yourself.
And they give you a list of security questions to choose from.
Right. So if you happen to be an unmarried, childless loser like me, why are most of the privacy setting questions, and when do you first meet your spouse?
Would you go to the
first
date?
Name? What's your middle child?
Whatever.
There is hardly any of these that I can answer. Where are the questions for single, unmarried, childless losers in here? I was like, I was only left with, okay, I had parents and I went to school.
Yeah.
Because there are only questions involving that.
Right. Everything else was involving relationships that you've never had.
Oh, horrible. As if things aren't bad enough in the world. My life is just breaking bad. The Emmys, I watched Emmys.
Did you? The entire
breaking
thing?
Breaking Bad? No.
Oh,
don't be ridiculous. Who's ever done that?
I fell asleep.
No. Breaking Bad won Best Drama. I still have to see it. Modern Family won for Best Comedy Series. Jeff Daniels, he is awesome. I have been watching Newsroom a lot.
Yes.
He won for Newsroom Claire Danes for Homeland.
Yeah.
Fun fact about Homeland, they listen to
Stephanie Miller.
Right?
That's right.
Mandy Patinkin asked for tickets to Sexy Liberal D.C. Very, very exciting. Hi, everybody.
Did
Hi,
get
Claire.
Them?
Hi, Mandy. I don't remember. I don't know.
Oh.
I think so.
Was he there?
I'm quite certain we said, yeah. I don't know. I just.
Okay.
Who knows?
I don't remember seeing him.
That's not the important part of the story now.
Oh, okay.
All right. Anyway, so I was thinking over the weekend, when you look at seriously what is happening with this, what we're contemplating, which we've talked about, but even this morning can't really get my brain around that they literally are seriously threatening to shut down the United States government default.
Yeah.
Or to shut down the law of the land.
Yeah.
Which is already helping people and is already... this is like, just when you thought this could not get worse.
Yeah.
This is really... I just started to lose hope with politics in general. I'm like, because the other thing they were talking about, because of the gerrymandering, they've got nothing to lose. We're like in the back seat and they're driving the car off a cliff and we're literally...
Mm-hmm.
They're going to kill somebody. Long lay on the horn. And I don't know... See what I mean? I'm sputtering this morning.
They're going the wrong way!
Yeah, exactly.
What? They're going the wrong way!
He says we're going the wrong way!
Thank you. Thanks
okay.
a lot.
Terrific. Thank you!
You're going in the wrong direction! You're going to kill somebody! You're going the wrong way!
Yes. It's like all logic is just upside down.
Yeah.
The latest gun massacre calls for, once again, even more guns. That's what it's... Of course, once again, there were not enough good guys with guns on a military base. For Wayne LaPierre. And at any rate, I mean, literally, the fact that they're going to... apparently shut down our government over something that is the law of the land and has been now for and has been upheld by the Supreme Court and confirmed twice in the landslide elections. Mm-hmm. By the way, the fiscal conservatives like Daryl Issa, guess what he's spending taxpayer money on today?
He's going overseas for.
He's going to Libya to do a little Benghazi investigation, because that's the real. That's what the real problem facing America is, the 7,000th inquiry about Benghazi. Oh, God, we need help.
Sometimes people say I'm stupid.
All my attempts to repeal Obamacare, it's hard to keep track of it.
I use it so I can keep up.
It's to remember people's names.
Dumbacity helps give you an edge.
No matter why you want more than half a brain, Dumbacity can help.
There's all these little games and puzzles based on some kind of brain thingy science.
And they really help me keep me from eating my own...
Whether you're trying to shut down the government or hold another Benghazi hearing, Dumbacity has the tools that help you out. Based on the science of neocon NeuroSilly Buddy, Dumbacity is a series of games and puzzles.
Persians on my asparagus.
Designed to try to get some sort of brain activity going.
With the world as complex as it is, and with me watching so much Fox News, listening to Sean Hannity, my basic motor skills are under siege.
Let's see if we can help. Go to Dumbacity.com today.
Oh, thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Oh, and Steve in New York is going to talk me down on the Wayne LaPierre thing. Hello, oh. Steve.
Yes, hi. Hi. Beth.
Hi, honey.
First, I want to say early happy birthday to you. It happens to be my granddaughter's birthday as well.
Thank you, sweetie. It's Sunday. My birthday's coming up Sunday. Oh, you
That's
know what?
Correct.
Here's the other
That's
horrible
right.
thing, other horrible tragedy that happened over the weekend, Steve. Tony Basil of Hey Mickey turned 70, which means you and I
gracious.
Are incredibly old. We are so old.
Wow. Well,
Hey Mickey is 70?
Well,
yesterday she turned 70.
The woman is 70.
Right.
Hey Mickey is 30-something
right.
years old.
Right.
Well, my granddaughter's going to be a year old on your birthday as well.
Aw, precious little Libra pumpkin.
Yes, right. She is. She's
All
adorable.
Right. Go ahead.
Now, Mr. Wayne, we're talking about a base that has guns, lots of guns, and he says there weren't enough guns?
Yeah. Well, you know,
Sounds
I thought
like
the
most... That's insanity to me.
Yeah, and Steve, I thought the most... perfect story recently is two, you know, responsible gun owners, quote-unquote, trademark NRA. Those two guys in Michigan that both had concealed carry permits, got in a road rage incident, both dead.
Shot each other dead.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What? Okay.
There were two good guys with guns who killed each other.
Yeah. And
yeah.
You know, and the fact is, there were good guys with guns here. I mean, it's just the fact that, what, every single place in America has to be a militarized zone now? There has to be, how many is enough? How many good guys with guns is enough, Steve?
It's never enough.
Yeah. I mean, I literally thought, is he really going to say this? This time I'll make, yep, he is.
Yep, he is.
Yeah, exactly. He shares my pain about that whole.
Especially,
it's so predictable.
Especially by saying yep-a-roo.
Right. Listen, I'm having a brain event this morning.
Uh-oh.
Oh, we were thinking in honor of, because this is the weirdest thing anyone has ever sent us. This was the George W. Bush version of Hey Mickey.
Yeah.
Right, that a listener sent.
Oh, Steffi, you're so fine, you blow my mind. Oh, Steffi. Yeah, Steffi.
See, weird.
Oh, Steffi, you're so fine, you blow my mind. Oh, Steffi. Yeah, Steffi. Oh, Steffi, you're so fine, you blow my mind. Oh, Steffi.
Yeah.
Oh, Steffi, what's a boy like me supposed to do? You really drive me wild when you get sweaty in this suit. Oh, Steffi, how I love that talk show thing you do. It's hosts like you. What you do, Steffi, do, Steffi, up in this suit, Steffi. W out.
Yay, thank you whoever had that much free time. Terrific. It was 1982, by the way.
Yeah.
Hey, Mickey. She just turned 70 yesterday. Oh, boy. I am growing mold.
Wow.
Okay. All right. So, lots of stuff. Obvious. Oh, we were talking about the you were over doing tech support.
Yes, I was.
And you would not install the new iOS on my iPhone because you said it will frighten Grandma.
It would frighten you.
It will frighten Grandma.
It's too different.
Really?
Yeah.
I can only take so much.
Yeah, well, we installed a lot of new stuff on your things yesterday, and
right.
We'll do one thing at a time.
A little bit of change at a time.
Yeah.
Because, if it looks different, it startles Grandma.
It does.
Okay.
I know you too well.
Did you? But did you hear about? Well, I mean, a lot of it turned ugly around the world. We've gone insane for iPhones. It turned ugly out here in L.A.
Yeah.
The iPhone frenzy takes ugly turn.
Oh yeah.
Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. That guy gets the Douche of the Year award. A businessman hired a bunch of homeless people to stand in line.
Bust them in from downtown.
Right, bust them in and then didn't pay them and left them stranded there.
Yeah.
Douche-tastic is all I'm saying. All right. So, I know. I have this is sort of like a silver lining love story of the weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I think I've given up on politics and on people in general. So...
Okay.
I was the victim of, and then I perpetrated an random act of kindness. Because it's all we can do. Because you know who I was inspired by? Antoinette Tough, the school bookkeeper we played again.
Yeah.
That was like, we all go through something, honey, and she disarmed the gunman with pure human
kindness.
Empathy. Yeah. Whatever. Whatever. Stuff in short supply these days. That trauma doctor at the Navy Yard that, you know, just talked as a human being and not as a... Oh, okay. So I was going spinning. Sunday morning.
As you
and have you ever
do.
Done the thing? Well, because you know how this look at that road rage incident in Michigan. You know when someone is a douche and takes your parking spot?
Yeah.
And then mayhem ensues usually?
Yeah.
So I was backing into a parking space and I was stopping to read the sign to make sure. And so someone pulled in behind me. And instead of getting out and going, hey, you. I was just like, oh. And she was like, oh, I'm sorry. Were you going to park here? And I said, oh, is there room for both of us? She said, no, it's all right. You have it. And I was like, oh, thank you. So then I was feeling selfish during spinning class because I was like, I probably should have just given her the spot.
Oh,
and so I bought her a bottle of water and I gave it to her. And I said, thank you for being so kind and giving me the parking slot. And she was like, oh, my God, thank you. That's so nice. And so I just thought that's all we could do. Just pay it forward one person at a time. So instead of shooting each other, fortunately, neither of us were armed.
Well, thank you.
We were just polite chipmunks. Unlike the douche that I talked about last week.
After you. Oh, no. You first.
Right.
Thank you.
Yes. Oh, the guy last week I talked about. The hole of the driver hole of the year award. Remember?
One was that?
He, like, pulled up right behind me, parked right behind my car.
Yes.
And I was coming. I'm like, I got to get out. What are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm sorry. And then he pulls into a handicap space and just sprints into the stores.
Sure.
Douche. Driver of the year. Okay.
How do you know he didn't have an internal?
He did not have anything.
How do you know this?
Holiness is what he
just
had.
Because someone isn't limping doesn't mean they're not handy capable or whatever. Now.
Okay, 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
That makes me sweat.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Jim Ward is here. Everybody stand down.
Yeah.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Did you get the sense that even before Wayne LaPierre was on yesterday, the talking points went out about the gun-free zones?
Oh, sure.
It's because of Bill Clinton?
Yeah.
It's Bill Clinton's fault.
Yeah.
Which is a refreshing change from everything is the black guy's fault, I suppose. That this is a gun-free zone. A military base is a gun-free zone.
Exactly.
Isn't that right, Greg, in Chicago? Hello, Greg, in Chicago.
Hi, how's it going, Miller?
Good. Go ahead.
I just want to say, they are gun-free zones.
Uh-huh. Right.
The only...
Yes, except for all the armed security personnel that were there.
Yeah, so if you look at the Naval Yard, they were mostly civilian employees.
Except for all of the armed security personnel that were there.
Right.
And how many were there?
I see. So the answer is always more armed people. So that would always...
listen to me. I'm not defending. I'm not saying more guns is the answer. All I'm saying, you know, obviously more guns is not the answer. I agree with you guys.
In at least a couple of these mass shootings, there were armed security guards.
And of course there were.
Yes, and of course they were the first ones killed. And in this case, their weapons were used against other people as well.
Which is terrible, of course.
Right.
But to say, if you look at the all the terrible things that have happened, you know, Aurora, Colorado, Sandy Hook, all these things, these mentally ill people went after, you know, these where guns really aren't around.
Right, except there was an armed security guard at least one of those at Sandy Hook, wasn't there? Yeah, I mean, there are at least a couple of these. You know, Greg, look, listen, the number of these massacres that have been stopped by an armed civilian is exactly zero. All right. I hit him with a stun gun of facts.
Yes, you did.
All right. So the president, obviously, talking about the Navy Yard shooting over the weekend.
What wears on us, what troubles us so deeply as we gather here today is how this senseless violence that took place in the Navy Yard echoes other recent tragedies.
This morning, day after on Meet the Press yesterday, after Wayne LaPierre, of course, they had a mother whose daughter was killed in the Aurora movie theater. It's just nothing. There's no human being or emotion like can penetrate his wall of talking points. But, I mean, just her describing it, it's just she just talked to her daughter 20 minutes earlier. Her other daughter called her amid screams to say her daughter was dead.
Yeah.
Her other daughter was dead. She said, you know, she was shot 6 times. Her brains literally were blown out. And it's... And nothing will get... I mean, just I don't even know what to say anymore. The president, again.
As long as there are those who fight to make it as easy as possible for dangerous people to get their hands on guns, then we've got to work as hard as possible for the sake of our children. We've got to be ones who are willing to do more work to make it harder.
He just said we got to go back at it. He said we fought a good fight earlier this year, but we came up short, and that means we got to get back up and go back at it. James in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I was just wondering more specifically about what you think should be done about the gun control. I mean, obviously the NRA, they go crazy after all of these shootings, but I have a story of a lady that I work with. She's trying to get a divorce from her husband, and he went absolutely crazy about this. And goes and tries to get a gun from a dealer, gets denied due to his background check, ends up getting one on the black market and comes to our office and threatening people with it. And, you know, I just don't know what to do about a situation like that where, you know, if people can't get guns, but he's still got one, I just, you know, I'm in the middle. I don't know.
Yeah, well, look, that's the problem is, you know, not every situation is going to be solved. I mean, we have a lot of guns in this country, so, you know, I don't know either, but I know that we should try to do something, that this shouldn't be, the new normal, as somebody said, or the reality that we accept. Let's see, this is, Dan, the official pig farmer designer of the Stephanie Miller Show.
He designs pig farmers?
He's in Japan.
Oh, huh?
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa.
The official pig farmer designer. He's a designer and a pig farmer.
Oh, I see. Okay.
In Japan.
He doesn't design pig farmers.
Konnichiwa.
Okay.
No. No. He sent some not-so-fun fact. 2011 murders in the U.S., just under 17,000. In Japan, just under 1,100. Gun murders in the U.S. have been averaging just above 10,000 per year for the last 5 years. In Japan, less than 20 per year. Accidental deaths by firearms in the U.S., 14,000 per year. In Japan, zero. That'd be zero. That would be zero.
Zero. Goose egg.
Yes.
Love, as they say in tennis.
Exactly. And that is not hyperbole, as I engaged in when I said that it was in single digits in Japan, in which I was horribly wrong by two. It was 11. It was 11 in the last
digits.
Year recorded. Right.
Would that be hyperbole or hypobole?
Because right.
Because too low.
Never mind.
Right. All right. Rude Pundit joins us next, as it is Monday.
It is.
Hooray. 29 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The only time I was ever awake this early was in my 20s, and I was still up from the night before.
Ha!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Eric Bowler to Media Matters at the top of the hour. Of course, they have a great piece already, The Growing Myth of Mass Shootings and Gun-Free Zones.
Mm-hmm.
Because you start to hear the talking points on the phone lines before, and then you're like, oh, there's Wayne LaPierre saying it as well.
Yeah.
The Washington, D.C. police chief detailed how local police officers arrived at the Navy Yard within 2 or 3 minutes of the first shots ringing out, and that even before that, internal security at the Navy Yard was firing at the gunman. Does that sound like a gun-free zone to you, Media Matter writes? Does that sound like the gunman didn't have to worry about anybody shooting back, as the Daily Caller absurdly claimed? The attempt to blame Clinton is even more of a stretch, but it's become a constant. Oh, by the way, this we should probably just point out this little fun fact.
Okay.
The rule was actually established in response to a 1992 Department of Defense directive issued during the presidency of George H.W. Bush.
Aha!
It means that only trained guards are armed, not everybody.
Obviously, it was Clinton's fault.
Right.
Because
exactly.
He should have retroactively gone back in time and reversed the
right.
rotation of the earth. And
sure. Exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's Monday, everybody.
It's Lee Poppet, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning.
Did you have the pleasure of watching Mr. LaPierre on Meet the Press?
No, I. You know what? On a Sunday morning, I can't take that much stomach acid.
I know. Me neither. I loved your post. Seriously, NRA, go a grizzly bear unless you're willing to do something positive. And you, like, highlighted their little thing they posted. We grieve and pray for those who lost their lives and for those hurt at the Washington Navy Yard. Wasn't that touching?
Yeah. It really was, with the American flag waving in the background. Mm. Just remind us what country it took place in, I guess.
Yeah. They say, let's take the NRA at its word post-Newtown that it really believes the nation needs to do more to help the mentally ill, as surely Aaron Alexis was. And this is what I was quoting you earlier. The NRA, ask the NRA if it's willing to go all in on supporting Obamacare. After all, the ACA expands mental health coverage, especially when it comes to treatment. And as you so succinctly put it, put the up or shut the up.
Well, even yesterday, I mean, you know, LaPierre kept saying that he was so, he was so distressed at the state of the mental health system in America. And it's like, yeah, you know what? We maybe have something in place that could help that.
Right.
So why don't you get on board? Or are you too concerned that a doctor said something bad about guns? You know, they also got upset when the doctor in D.C. said we have to stop this plague of violence, or however the doctor put it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the NRA came out with a tweet saying doctors shouldn't be taking a stand on guns.
Right.
Guns
they
don't kill people. Doctors kill people.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Sure.
They should stop getting so chatty about having to deal with gunshot wounds on a daily basis, and how that absolutely should be the new normal, right?
Maybe we should sue gun manufacturers for malpractice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like unbelievably predictable, isn't it? But that's it, that he, of course, he said that, well, there weren't enough good guys with guns was what the problem was.
Right. Well, it's such an easy thing. It's such it's the easiest argument. You know, I'm so sick of hearing when something, you know, that there's tight gun laws in Chicago. Well, you know what? Chicago isn't an island. Chicago isn't surrounded by an alligator-filled moat. So unless
maybe
you
it should
want,
be.
Or yeah, and as yeah, and DC isn't either. I had somebody yelling at me on Twitter about that, and I'm like, okay, do you want to put up guards at every road into DC or into cities that have tighter gun laws, checking every car that comes in there? Because that's what you got to do if you want to try to continue this myth of gun-free zones. Or that gun laws in one part of the country somehow make that part of the country safer.
Wayne LaPierre said yesterday, if there's a drug dealer with a gun in Chicago breaking federal law, Eric Holder, prosecute them. Oh, I see the very subtle code there. Hey, black guy.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, right.
Yeah, because that's the only place that, I mean, it just, anyway. All right, let's, you know what, I need to get off this subject because it's going to make me, let's talk about the rapey, Uncle Sam Obamacare ad.
Is that creepy or what?
Oh, God. Wasn't it awful?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you guys talked about it last week, but these ads from this group called Generation Opportunity, where they they show it's like a woman going to her gynecologist, and the and then at some point the doctor, the woman, it puts on the hospital gown, puts her feet in the stirrups. The doctor says okay and leaves, and then from between her legs, rising up out from behind the table, is this creepy ass Uncle Sam.
It's creepy Uncle Sam, yeah.
Yeah, creepy rape eyes Uncle Sam with this grin on his face.
Oh my God.
And the last thing we see in this ad is him clicking a speculum as, you know, we see the woman's horrified face.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like, don't get Obamacare. And I'm thinking, no, that's not the point. The point of this is that don't let masked guys into the gynecological room. You know? Don't let them, don't give them things they can insert in women.
The headline of your post is the epically stupid rapey place we now find ourselves in politics. If the Rude Pundit was a citizen of Greece right now, he'd be laughing in disbelief at the idiocy of the American debates over funding the government and the debt ceiling. He'd say, you mean the USA doesn't have to go through our nightmare, but might anyway? He'd make some charming gesture of confusion and say in Greek, my God, what dunces. Yes, we literally are. We're about to do to ourselves what happened to Greece, right?
Right. When one of the things that has put Greece into its situation is that its credit rating got hit because of its inability to pay back its debt. That's why it's getting all of these loans from the European Union. So what are we going to do? Hey, you know what? That looked great. Those riots in Greece just looked terrific. Why don't we bring them on ourselves?
And as you also note at the end of your piece, they keep calling it the failed health care legislation. What the how do you know it's a failure unless you let it be fully implemented?
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. I'm like, what do you mean it's failed? That's what
it says to me. They're brooding for it to be a failure.
Right.
Right. Well, because if it succeeds, you know, like I said last week, that means that their entire ideology is BS about that government can't improve people's lives. Like, I don't know, just not to circle back too easily, but like maybe in the mental health area.
Yeah. I mean, you take us through it. You say, where does this end? What happens in December when another continuing resolution would be needed? What laws or programs need to be done away with in order to appease the mad GOP in 2010? He gave in and extended the Bush tax cuts when the GOP was willing to let benefits run out for the unemployed. In 2011, we had the debt ceiling fight that led to the awful sequester. There's a reason that leaders do not negotiate with terrorists, because when the terrorists win, they think they can get more next time. And yeah, there will be a next time. I got to say, I agree with you on this. And I was saying the president is weighed down by actually having a soul and a conscience. But you know what? I got to say, I agree with you on this. You say the Republican Party is run by the terrorists. You think they're stopping there? If they get to kill Obamacare, they're going to go after Obama's head next. I mean, it's just there isn't. That's the thing, is you just think, can this get more awful? It always can, right?
Right. And I love that there's these supposedly rational Republicans that are trying to reason with the Tea Party Republicans, not realizing that you can't argue with a crazy person, because the first thing you have to realize about a crazy person is that they're crazy, and that there's nothing you can say that is going to make them come back from, you know, believing what the voices in their head tell them.
Well, so, you say we don't know what House Speaker Boehner's endgame is in the budget or debt ceiling battle. Is he just buying time in order to come up with some way to job the Tea Party terrorists in his caucus, or is he so craven about clinging to power that he'll give in to their demands if only they let him keep his precious gavel? And then you say there's a recent poll that show a majority of Republicans know a debt default will hurt the economy but want to do it anyway. They don't care. At some point, you say you've got to push the red button that says don't push, just to find out what the it does. That's where we're at. It's like, let's see what this does, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, what happens if I poke it there?
Right.
And, you know, does that hurt? Does that hurt? They've been talking about the debt that, you know, not raising the debt limit for years. They've been talking about shutting down the government for years. And at some point it's got to be, you know what, everybody keeps telling us everything's going to go wrong, but I don't believe it. And, you know, they base this on things like, that they think the sequester hasn't done any harm. And that's because maybe in their narrow little circle, their narrow little, you know, wealthy circle, where they're taken care of and pampered by all of their donors and other groups, they don't see what the sequester has done. So for them, everything is just, it's not as bad as you think it's going to be. Or maybe they just don't care.
Yeah, my favorite moment of Meet the Press was Marsha Blackburn, Republican of, what is it, Tennessee?
Mm-hmm.
David Gregory was asking, is there going to be a shutdown? She said, no, as much as the president wants it, it's not going to happen.
Really?
Wow. I was like, really? Really?
Whatever.
Really?
Yeah. Don't they realize that nobody's buying that argument?
Yeah.
Nobody is buying the argument except, again,
well,
the crazy people
exactly.
That it's that it would be Obama that's doing the shutdown. Because, you know, it's so ridiculous. I heard Eric Cantor even refer to Obamacare as a bill.
Yeah.
Not as a law.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I heard this person on NPR, this representative on NPR saying, well, we need to have this debate about Obamacare. And I just want to say, where were you in 2010?
Yeah.
Oh my God. And there's Mike Lee, the Republican that's behind this. You know, he and Cruz, the defunding, and he's like, the American people, they overwhelmingly want this. Like, no, they don't. They don't want to shut the government down. Over defunding Obamacare? Like, what? I mean,
no, in fact, overwhelmingly, they don't want it. It's like like only a majority of Republicans say that they're willing to let the government shut down. Independents break hard against it.
Yeah, and well, then somebody cited that on Meet the Press as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's Karl Rove's poll, which is why he said this is ridiculous. You got to stop this. But that's the problem, you know, Rude, like you're saying with the gerrymandering. Those seats are so safe. They don't care. They only have to worry about a primary from the right, right?
See, what I think George Soros or some wealthy liberal should do with their billions of dollars is buy a bunch of land in these gerrymandered districts. And build condos and just move in a bunch of Democrats.
Oh, that is diabolical. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
There you go. You know what? Forget about getting buying a network or something like that. Forget that.
Right.
Get actual bodies.
Oh, we'd still like a radio network.
No, we'd still like a network first, Uncle George. Okay.
Okay. Yes.
Since the right says we get all our money from him anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. We all are owned by George Soros.
Yeah, we actually had him on once many years ago, and I asked him outright for money, and he said no.
Yeah, he kind of laughed.
Shut me down.
No.
Shut me right
wait,
down.
Wait. You know what you need to do? You need to congratulate him on his wedding. He just got married.
I know.
Good for him.
I heard.
To somebody 35 years younger.
Good for him.
Yes.
Okay.
We love you, George.
We love you, George.
Stephanie, it sounds like you could have been Mrs. George Soros.
I would have. And then I would have a radio network.
Yes.
That'd be the first thing I do.
Soros.
All right. Rudeness, great stuff. See you next week, honey.
Bye.
All right. Bye now.
Mrs. Stephanie Soros.
Twin hearts. Okay. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Oh, good. The music machine was fixed over the weekend. Good. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere.
I think Kat's pushing things off of dressers is what caused
it. You know, it's a bad day for Chris when there's just silence and then he just goes talk. All right.
It's still crashed. It's
oh, all right.
Yeah,
although
nice.
Sometimes that was actually nicer than normal because sometimes you just say whore talk.
Talk whore.
Which is nice.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, now it's playing.
Okay. Oh, good. Perfect. Then again. No, it's too late now. It's just, no, just forget it.
All right.
Whatever. By the way, we've been talking about this right-wing talking about point about, you know, military base, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
A noted gun-free zone.
Right. That's the last place you would look for guns.
Right.
Weapons of any kind.
So, as we were saying, it was they're blaming Bill Clinton for that. It was a rule actually established in response to a 1992 Department of Defense directive, which was issued during the presidency of George H.W. Bush.
Right.
Media Matters writing, curiously, the conservatives pushing these claims did not question why, if Clinton really did back such a naked gun grab, President George W. Bush didn't change the rule for military bases during his 8 years in office. Answer is Clinton didn't change.
Yeah.
So...
Also,
that's
airports.
Why, you know, you would think a gun-toting, you know, cowboy like George Bush would have fixed that up quick.
Grr.
Robert in Florida. Hello, Robert.
Buongiorno, Stephanie. I hope I can articulate my thought here. And good morning, Mooks.
Hello.
Basically, we got the shutdown coming up, and the Republican Party is all happy about this and everything. But, you know, I was listening to Rude Pundit say that a good way is maybe get George Soros to buy a plot of land and get people to move in those districts. I got a better idea. Why not point out to the people who will vote for these losers, say, hey, you more than likely are evangelical and very, you know, devout Christians and whatever. None of this bill has anything that Jesus said. You know, they pride themselves on on the abortion bill, there's nothing one thing about abortion on here. You know, if they had this gun and they wanted, and they're pointing it at us, how come they didn't put that on this bill too? I mean, why don't they throw everything that they possibly ever could want on this bill and say, hey, this is what we believe and this is what we want? But the reality is they just want
because they are far to the right of the Pope. That's
what
has happened with our Republican Party. John in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John. Hello, John.
Hi, it's John.
Yes, John.
Yeah, so just to reiterate what you said, the fact is the gun-free zone's been in place for 21 years now, and nobody seemed to care, and now all of a sudden it's Bill Clinton's fault, even though it's George H.W. Bush.
Right.
How come George Bush Jr. didn't take, oh, I don't know, just a moment out of his 8 years in office and turn it around and
yeah.
do such a bad?
Yeah, exactly. Particularly because he's such a shoot 'em up cowboy that George Bush was.
Shock and awe. Boom.
By the way, Texas, speaking of dopes from Texas.
Yes.
Texas Representative Louie Gohmert, who is kind of
Gohmert.
Yeah, a little bit of a Gohmert of the Herp Derp Caucus. He was, of course, speaking about the Navy Yard shooting, and he said blaming guns for gun violence was on a par with blaming obesity on too many spoons.
What? The hell?
It's Gohmert time again.
My guest at this time is Texas Republican Congressman Louie Gohmert.
This administration has so many Muslim Brotherhood members that have influence.
Louie Gohmert time, when his IQ's not high, he should shush right up, cause he's not a real bright guy. With his features come, he's got Muslims on his mind. Have a drink every time, he says Benghazi, you'll stay drunk all the time. If your daddy's rich, he'll suck up like he should. If your daddy's black, you're in the Muslim Brotherhood. In the house he whines, he go fishing, we go fishing for a crime. We're always happy, cause we're living our right-wing philosophy.
Kevin in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good.
You know, I was flipping through and I was listening to you a little bit this morning. You know, you're talking about the gun control and stuff. And, you know, I just can't help but think, isn't there a bigger problem here? I mean, why is this stuff happening? You know, why is there so many deranged people in this country?
Yeah,
that feel
well,
the
it's obviously both. It's obviously both.
You know, I mean, I'm more conservative, but, you know, I'm open to gun control. Something's got to be done here. You know, this is just getting ridiculous. You look at the timeline.
I mean, Kev, the only thing I would say about, you know, that clearly we've got to do something about mental health in this country, but it's just too easy to get a gun. I mean, that's the only thing I would even vaguely agree with that Wayne LaPierre said is that some of these people slip through the cracks anyway.
Yeah.
You know, that are mentally ill. So, but that's what I mean. It's just it's the combination of it is so easy to get a gun. Some of these guys pass background checks. Does that tell you the background checks are stringent enough, or that we're? I mean,
hell to the no.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Wayne LaPierre called for more armed security. He said this is a tragedy that should not have happened, a memorial service that should not be taking place, and victims that should not be victims. He said yesterday on Meet the Press. In a post 9/11 world, a naval base within miles from Congress, the White House, even 7 miles from here, largely left unprotected. No.
Computer says,
except for all the guys with guns.
Yes.
Yeah.
A terrorist target. Okay, well, this was not terrorism. This was yet another mentally deranged guy mm-hmm. that had access to weapons. Hive that was left completely unprotected, once again.
Computer says, no.
The NRA is calling for layers of security.
Layers.
Mm. Just as he did in the wake of the shootings in Newtown, he called for more guns, not less.
Great.
In an effort to protect potential
and
victims.
And more parkas and sweaters. Layers.
Right. Yeah. Right. He said the whole country, David, knows the problem is there weren't enough good guys with guns.
Right.
He
says no.
Yeah, the
sure.
whole country doesn't know that. When the good guys with guns got there, it stopped. No, the good guys with
no.
guns got shot first.
Yes.
A few of them. And then he was talking about response times, and that is just patently not true. They were within, the people there were exchanging fire within minutes.
Absolutely.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Oh, Wayne. All right. 58 Germans? Minutes after the hour. Eric Bollard next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, Jim, I found a great guest report over the weekend regarding the use of chemical weapons in Syria, who said the world can decide whether it was used by the regime, which has used chemical weapons before, the regime which had the rockets and the weapons, or whether the opposition secretly went unnoticed into the territory they don't control to fire rockets they don't have containing sarin that they don't possess to kill their own people. And that without even being noticed, they then just disassembled it all and packed up and got out of the center of Damascus controlled by Assad. Please. Who said that?
Bashar al-Assad.
No, that's a
really...
I was
told I could keep my stapler.
No, it's a really bad guess. Secretary of State John Kerry.
Ah.
I just like the please at the end. Please. Okay. Yeah.
He really said that?
Yes.
That's awesome. Oh. That's kind of awesome.
Please.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of the ing awesome, Eric Bowler from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bowler.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bowler.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bowler from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bowler.
Good morning, Eric Bowler.
Good morning.
I had to start with that because of your piece, Syria and the Beltway Media Crack-Up. Because I have to read you so that I don't feel insane the way this whole thing was covered. And from both sides about Syria, right?
Yeah. It was just weird. And you know, I thought the debate was weird during, you know, the debate when the airstrikes were at the center of it. When it then sort of veered towards an obvious diplomatic solution or a potentially peaceful resolution, and the criticism not only continued but actually mounted,
and the Beltway press
seemed even more mad and condescending and sneering at Obama for having been able to find a peaceful way out of it. It was really just amazing.
Yeah, I thought John Stewart said it best about, well, it's, on the one hand, we disarmed a ruthless dictator who gave up his chemical weapons without firing a shot. On the other hand, we made this shiny graphic.
A lot of the press was so invested in Obama's doomed when it was all about the strikes. He was going to lose the vote in the Congress. That was going to be the end of his second term. You remember there was already the groundwork was being laid for the minute he lost that vote, he was going to be lame duck, and they were just going to write him off. And, so there was a lot of people invested deeply in that narrative. And then it shifted and it turned. And instead of adjusting to the facts, sort of like the way the president did, the press just kept going, barreling down this road. And like I said, it seemed to get even angrier and angrier.
I know.
Passing day.
It's almost like because he screwed up their storyline. You tweeted, are pundits really this obtuse? Once Obama threatens military force, he can't change his mind no matter what. It's like, hello, this is brinkmanship. Do you know what this looks like? This is what, you know, I mean, somebody was joking about if, you know, Glenn Greenwald had been tweeting during the Cuban Missile Crisis. I mean, it's just... And you were quoting what Brian Williams and David Gregory. What has the president gotten himself into here, Williams wondered, suggesting the prospect of a diplomatic resolution represented a setback for Obama. Gregory agreed. I mean, and then you said...
Yeah, I never read Gregory's quote. Do you have it there?
A real mess. It's a real mess. Bad sequencing, disorganization, a sense of a lack of real focus and strategy for what the U.S. wants to do in the world. And then 4 days later, this historic agreement, right?
Yeah. And what it really highlighted was, the other thing that really bugged me about this, and we've talked about it, is this, for the Beltway press and a lot of the talking heads, this had nothing to do with Syria. It never had anything to do with Syria. They couldn't care less about the humanitarian crisis. They couldn't care less about the civil war. They decided this, you know, foreign policy crisis, you know, unfolding half a world away was all about Obama and how it's going to affect him and what does it do to his political chances. And we've never had foreign policy covered that way. We've never had diplomacy covered that way. And I think what this showed is we don't have any foreign policy journalism anymore. There's no breathing space even for a day or two to let events unfold, again, thousands of miles away, chaotic, complicated events. It's all literally minute by minute. Keeping score of what
right, who's the winner,
Obama.
Who are the right,
how
winners and losers,
growing
right.
up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like you said, winners and losers, and oh, Putin's the real winner, and oh, yeah, just
winners
I mean,
are shock and awe.
Right, you say the
same. If people actually cared about what was happening in Syria, the obvious conclusion would have been this is good news. He's not going to gas his
right.
people, et cetera, but none of that ever mattered. It was to me. You know, the coverage was all so, you know, narcissistic and shallow. And
well, as you say,
the Beltway.
Style of the press adopting style over substance as well as channeling
yeah.
Republican spin. I mean, and you say now we're told the Syria, quote unquote, fiasco is ending, is eroding Obama's second term. He's floundering, as you're quoting, you know, his polls are falling. And as you say, his Gallup poll, for example, currently stands at 45, identical to his approval rating 12 months ago, 24 months ago, 36 months ago, 48 months ago. I mean, so it's just some of this stuff is made up out of whole cloth.
It really is. No, and if you go to Gallup, that is a fact. If you look at, like, September 20, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, he has had the same approval rating mid-September for the last 4 years. So how is that possibly, you know, his presidency is cratering and things like that. So, you know, there was a lot, again, it goes back to a lot of people were invested. You know, and some of those quotes that I have in there are just amazing. I mean, Ruth Marcus was furious at Obama's mind-changing, you know,
yeah.
and Kathleen Parker was furious that he was overthinking, you know.
Yeah.
Like, wait, okay,
no, what you really, you want to go back to the underthinking,
yes.
like the George Bush did, and just don't change your mind ever.
Don't
right.
think.
So subtlety, flexibility, diplomacy, mm-hmm. all those things are now, you know, a sign of weakness, and you wonder how we, you know, how we stumble, not even stumble, how we barrel into, you know, the wrong wars, when the presidents are told, if you change your mind, you know, if the facts change and you change your approach,
well,
you're going to be hammered in the press.
And you know, the last thing I wanted that you hit is the thing I've been talking about. You said what's been telling is how media taunts from the Beltway's mainstream have often been just as loud as the condemnations from Fox News. And that's what I don't get it is when our side helps them. I mean, that's why I just did John Kerry's quote is the UN report. You know, pretty much proved everything the administration said.
Yeah.
And yet we had people on our side putting out stupid conspiracy theories about, oh, yeah, maybe the rebels did it. And, you know, I mean, they're echoing Putin.
Yeah.
Yeah, or, you know, the White House is hiding the information.
Right.
They won't really tell us. And it's, you know, we went into Iraq, so therefore the Obama, you know, and we were lied into Iraq. Therefore, this White House is lying about the information. Why would Obama put his presidency on the line for some concocted intelligence about a place he doesn't want anything to do with and no American president. It didn't make any sense.
I mean, you know what
and,
I'm looking
you know, a lot of it you just sort of think like, you know, you don't want to be crass about this, but like these people just want to be on TV. Is that why they're doing this? I mean, come on.
Somebody wrote a piece in HuffPo, Obama's strategy of talking to countries instead of going to war might just be crazy enough to work.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm seeing a tweet this morning. Iran's hardliners support the Rouhani's meeting with President Obama. Landmark meeting between U.S. president and Iranian counterpart could allow for direct talks on nuclear programming. I mean, I can't wait to see how that's going to be bad, that we don't go to war with Iran, right?
Yeah, as I tweeted last week with the Iran announcing, you know, they don't want anything to do with the nuclear weapons. They're going to meet. They're releasing prisoners, as I tweeted. Everything is falling apart for this White House now.
Yeah, now it's really a debacle. Yeah.
It really is.
My God.
But the quick point you made is, you know, this did, you know, a lot of these pundits did sound like Fox News. And again, this whole crisis through the mainstream Beltway press was really told through the prism of the Republican Party. You know, he's a weak leader. He's a flip flopper. You know, he's going to be a lame duck. All of this stuff is just right out of RNC headquarters.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the, you say, hearing right-wing predictions, for instance, that Obamacare will crash the economy. All I hear is Mitt Romney will win in a landslide. I mean, it really is incredible where we're at right now with them threatening to shut down the government over defunding Obamacare, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, we did it with sequester. I mean, we've done it all of these things. You know, we see this radical Republican behavior And in the end, the press blames Obama. I mean, to this day, just last week when, you know, the press was cataloging Obama's, you know, failing presidency, I saw at least two or three mentions of why his second term has been such a failure. He couldn't pass gun control.
Right.
90% of Americans supported that. The Republicans in the White House would not allow a vote. And that's Obama's fault. Sequester was Obama's fault, even though it was well documented. He was sitting in the middle in those negotiations. They wouldn't do anything. And again, you know, there's a possibility here with this government shutdown and the debt. You know, everyone with a pulse in D.C. knows what's going on. They know where the parties are. They know this is this GOP insanity. But there's a pretty good chance that, you know, in the end, they'll blame Obama for not leading.
Oh, I know. No, this is what drove me crazy last month. And again, this is, or excuse me, last week. And this is not Fox. This was Jim Acosta from CNN. Did you hear that question at the press conference sort of implying all these mass shootings are the president's fault? It's like, oh, well, Mr. President, another shooting. Aren't you afraid that, you know, this is going to be your... It's like, what? He's the only one that's been trying to do something about it against, you know, as you say, once again, complete Republican, obstruction.
Yeah, and a quick point about the Navy Yard shooting, in terms of right-wing misinformation and Media Matters wrote about this last week. Immediately, the NRA, they're usually silent, but either they, through their affiliates, they started spreading the news. You know, the Navy gun yard was a gun-free zone. It's all Clinton's fault. Back in 93, he banned guns on all military facilities. You know, false, false, false.
Right.
Yep.
You know, that initiative was started by George Bush Sr. It's not a gun-free zone, but it's a classic example of how when we have these, you know, disasters, the media inclination is misinformation, kick up a dust storm, and try to throw people off the track of what's really important.
I hear you banned airplanes and aircraft carriers and torpedoes on submarines.
Right, exactly. As you tweeted, facts, Twitter cons hate, not one of the 62 mass shootings we documented was stopped by an armed civilian. There's that. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, Mother Jones has been doing a great job on this. And again, so the mythology is, you know, everyone at the Navy Yard was unarmed. You know, they were just sort of sitting ducks. And if everyone had gone to work that day armed, you know, then it wouldn't be a problem. But again, these mass shootings happen over and over. There's a history to them. And we just don't see any evidence that if everyone went to work with a gun, that we wouldn't have mass shootings in America. The reason we have them in America is we have 300 million guns. Why don't we have them in Spain and Italy and France and Japan and China? You know, it's so obvious. But we can't really get beyond this dead-end debate on guns in America.
Well, and I always think that the most salient fact that we talk about is that the states, probably with the strongest gun laws, have the lowest gun. I mean, you can't. It just defies common sense to say there's no correlation.
Yeah.
No. Absolutely. And again, how about this? You know, it's almost surreal. You see, Wayne LaPierre going on Meet the Press yesterday, and again, the right-wing talking points last week was, well, how can someone mentally unstable, as the Navy Yard gunman get a gun? You know, he should have been reported. He should have been locked up. I think that was Wayne LaPierre.
All right.
These are the same people that refuse to tighten up background checks, that refuse to allow a vote in the House when 90% of Americans want better, tighter background checks. And then when there's the mass shootings, they turn around and blame the loopholes in the background checks.
Yeah.
Again, it's such a dead end, and it's so maddening.
Yep, absolutely. And only you can get me through it. Spoon me through it every week. Eric Bowler from Media Matters. Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye.
All right, there he goes. 19 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Isn't she lovely? Isn't she wonderful? Isn't she lovely? Made
from love. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Oh, 24 minutes after the hour. Oh, the road rage incident, the two concealed carry weapons holders that shot each other and killed each other dead.
Michigan.
Michigan. Another day, another mass shooting. The state of Michigan has left three people dead, at least five more injured. It occurred at a charity organ at the Elks Club. in Michigan. Okay, no details yet on that. Oh, boy. Let's go to, let's see, Anthony in D.C. on the gun issue. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, Stephanie. Jim.
Hey.
How y'all doing?
Hi.
I was listening to Elite Press yesterday, and we don't ever do enough about lying. They have an entire police force at the Navy Yard. Okay,
right.
On top of that, the Marine barracks is 5 blocks up the street. I used to go in the Navy Yard every morning about 3 o'clock when I'm a vendor. I have like 30 machines in there. And like I said, they have a large police force. And one morning I went in there, I didn't have my ID. They would not let me on base. Even though these people see me every morning,
yep. He
would not let me on base. Okay, so that was just a lie that he was saying.
Yeah, that's kind of par for the course. Let's go to Noel in L.A. Hey, Noel.
Hey, Seth, listen, I was listening to Eric Bowler, and I agree with him. These Obama haters are going to find fault with it. Everything will be blamed on Obama, no matter what. Now, I think the one thing that Obama and his administration can be faulted with is the way they message, or the way, I should say, the way they don't message. Because I'm thinking, you know, here Obamacare is about to be enacted and fully engaged or started in a few days. My partner and I, we're covered with insurance, but if we weren't covered, I wouldn't know where to go. I wouldn't know where to look. I wouldn't know what the options were. There should be commercials. There should be town hall meetings.
You know, honestly, I think they're also starting that. I know I was reading a piece in the LA Times, David, about Funny or Die. There's a lot of Hollywood folks that are, mm-hmm. you know, going to start. I mean, I think they had their fear too was doing this too early before, you know, you could even sign up and then people wouldn't, you know what I'm saying? Like it's too soon. Whereas now, I mean, October 1st is the first. I think they're ramping up this week. Right. There's going to be 3 waves though,
yeah.
Because then like there's a certain time, you know, in order to have it by January 1st. But then I think the next thing will be, I think the penalty wouldn't start until like March. So I think we won't know.
Right.
You know, how all this is working until I think they were saying like March would be the third wave of.
A lot of people just have no idea how to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
But they're rolling out the education campaigns this
week.
That's
what I mean now. Yeah. David in San Diego. Hi, David.
Yes. Hi. I just wanted to say thank you for all you do, you and the guys. I used to be a DOD federal police officer for 12 years down in San Diego, California at the 32nd Naval Station. I was prior U.S. Navy for 8 years also prior to that. I just wanted to say that we also worked, of course, with the military MPs. And, you know, a lot of these callers call in and they're talking about, especially Wayne Lapierre, talking about, you know, everybody carrying guns, which is so ridiculous. I just really can't believe that this guy keeps saying this constantly, but if that was the case, we wouldn't have tolerated that, especially on a military installation. We do have a lot of law enforcement that's on there, and it would have been a real shootout if there was a whole bunch of people with guns. I just wanted to really say that, and you know, it's so ridiculous, especially. With this Obamacare, too, I just wanted to point that out. It's like these guys are on a unicycle, and they're trying to balance themselves out. And I know you said before, you know, all you have to do is use reverse psychology on them. I mean, they're just in a spiral.
Yep. They're spinning.
If only we had
they're
a good guy with an ICBM.
Right.
That would be.
They're a gun talking point spinning class.
Yeah.
That's what it is. All right. Speaking of gun violence, terrorism, yada, yada. Boy, oh boy, what a weekend. Kenya's military said late Sunday it had rescued most of the remaining hostages held by Al-Qaeda-linked militants in an upscale Nairobi mall after launching a major operation to end a 2-day standoff that had already killed 68 people. I don't know what the number is
it's 69 now, and all day long there's been black smoke pouring from the mall and sustained rapid gunfire. Could be heard from them all, too.
Yeah, the assault came about 30 hours after 10 to 15 extremists stormed the mall from two sides, throwing grenades and firing on civilians. We'll give you all the latest on that. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey,
wife, Stephanie Miller.
Good to meet you. I hope I look that good when I'm 200.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. This time not Tony Basil. All right.
Basil.
Basil, who is 70. Hey, Mickey girl. Okay.
She is 70.
Yep. She slipped us a Mickey in 1982. All right.
30. See what she did there. Mickey Rooney is 93 today.
Yikes.
Really? Yes. And he looks like a melting Nazi from...
Oh, stop it. We apologize to Mr. Rooney.
Does he still have the phony Japanese teeth from breakfast?
The rest of his melting family.
That was
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Updating you with the latest. This is just horrific out of Kenya. Somalia's al-Qaeda-linked rebel group al-Shabaab, am I saying that right, claimed responsibility for the attack that specifically targeted non-Muslims. Did you hear that? They said that they told Muslims to leave.
Yeah.
They said it was retribution for Kenyan forces' push into neighboring Somalia. Westgate Mall is at least partially owned by Israelis. Four restaurants inside the mall are Israeli-run and owned. The Kenyan president yesterday.
Many of us have lost loved ones. Let us mourn them all as one nation and keep them always in remembrance and prayer.
I think his nephew and his nephew's fiance were killed. The Kenyan president again.
We have overcome terrorist attacks before. In fact, we have fought courageously and defeated them within and outside our borders. We will defeat them again.
And Peter King talking about this specific group.
It's an extremely deadly organization, very well trained, and it's one of the only al-Qaeda affiliates which actually has actively recruited here in the United States.
And they were speculating on TV this morning that some of the terrorists that are currently inside the mall could be Americans.
By the way, guess who else Peter King called the terrorists essentially this weekend? Republican senators who are holding the entire Congress hostage. Peter King's mad.
It doesn't take much to get him mad.
No. Republican Congressman Peter King has been particularly critical of the defund Obamacare movement and his party taking on Ted Cruz in particular as a fraud, suggesting he should keep quiet. He said the Senate Republicans trying to force this issue are holding the entire Congress hostage. Despite his protestations of over defunding Obamacare, he voted for it. Did you see that?
Uh-huh.
He said just to keep the process going. What?
What?
He then said, this is not the way to run a government. You mean the way you just voted? Because, okay. Because he said the Senate vote would show once and for all that Cruz was being fraudulent all summer and expose the intentions of the defunding crowd. This is pretty amazing stuff. The president talking about all this.
They're not focused on you. They're focused on politics. They're focused on trying to mess with me. They're not focused on you.
That's true.
And this is what, you know, Eric Bowler always talks about so well, about the media. It's just everything is a political game. Who wins and loses? Well, guess what? We all lose if these lunatics shut down the United States government. It's like, this literally is a headline. Government showdown fight splits Christie and Rubio and other 2016 GOP contenders. If you're worried about 2016, what about the rest
of us?
Now? Until then. A clear divide over the health care law separates the emerging field. This is how they cover this of GOP candidates for 2016. Ted Cruz says he will fight with every breath to stop President Obama's signature domestic achievement, even if that means shutting down the federal government. It's an approach that Jeb Bush calls quite dicey politically.
Yeah.
For Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky says flatly the shutdown is a dumb idea. Allied on the other side with Cruz is Marco Rubio, who says that they're making a principled stand. That's what it is. Shutting down the United States.
Okay. And did you
see? Let me get this straight. These are guys that want to run to be the head of the United States government. They want to shut it down. And just to make a.
Did you see that Sarah Palin has inserted herself into this,
good.
Making it about her? She said that she may run for the Senate so that she could give Ted Cruz some reinforcements.
Oh, God.
Oh, good. Good, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, dear God.
Oh, my
The bland leading the bland.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Uh-huh.
Then there are those taking what they call pragmatic approach, accepting the law if grudgingly. That includes Chris Christie of New Jersey and Scott Walker of Wisconsin, who says a shutdown would violate the public trust. Yeah. Can you finish arguing with each other?
Yeah.
Control your lunatics before we can have a
while the grown-ups run the country?
Yeah.
Please?
Exactly. Exactly. The president yesterday.
You'd be willing to shut down the government and potentially default for the first time in United States history because it bothers you so much that we're actually going to make sure that everybody has affordable health care. Well, let me say as clearly as I can, it is not going to happen.
Yeah, Kirsten Powers wrote a piece for the Daily Beast. The GOP is threatening murder-suicide with the new shutdown warnings. It really is. I mean, we really are in the backseat. They're taking us with them.
Yeah.
She said the Republican Party is destroying America. It is a bit of a murder-suicide. House Republicans' willingness to lay waste to the country to satisfy their fringiest faction will ultimately guarantee the GOP irrelevancy as a national party unless they change their ways. In the meantime, they seem determined to take us all down with them. And then she quotes, we've had, I think, both these guys on, right? Norm Ornstein and Thomas Mann wrote this book, and they're moderates, and they just wrote a book about how insane this version of the Republican Party is. He said, Ornstein says, the bizarreness of this monomaniacal focus on Obamacare, given that it's fundamentally a Republican program from the 1990s, yeah, mixed in with Romney Care. I think I said something like that. I was on Ed's show Friday on MSNBC. I'm like, what? Obamacare, this is what he said, Obamacare relies on the private sector. There is no public option. That you're willing to bring the country to its knees to sabotage it just shows this is a party that has gone off the rails. I mean, just how damaging had the congressional Republicans been to the country? He said, if you look at what could have happened in a reasonable political system with a give and take, we would have been on a more robust path to growth. We've gone from one credit agency downgrading us to a far greater likelihood we will default. If sequester continues, it's a cancer eating away at national parks, food safety, basic research. It's a terrible situation, no matter how much Republicans talk about how it was Obama's idea. The whole idea was to create such awful consequences no sane person would accept it.
Food
but
safety.
These aren't sane people.
Who needs that?
He said there is one party that it's lost its way and is being dominated by people who, by historical standards, are on the fringe. And that's what I hate about the media. They still have to cover it like it's it's a showdown. But I mean, you literally have Marsha Blackburn going, oh, well, as much as the president wants it, we're not going to have a government shutdown.
When has the president said he wants a government shutdown, Marsha? Marsha.
Thomas Mann said, you have to accept the legitimacy of the other side. Today's GOP it just exists to oppose all thing Obama does not. They did not even see him as legitimate, the president yesterday.
Now we're seeing an extreme faction of these folks convincing their leadership to threaten to shut down the government if we don't shut down the Affordable Care Act.
Pretty much. And the leader of the Republican Party, Rush Limbaugh, did you see what he said? He said, you know, because Democrats say it's the law of the land.
Yeah.
So he said, he said, well, what else at one time was the law of the land? Slavery.
See, good one.
Obamacare, just like
slavery.
Exactly like slavery. Hmm. By the way, I went to see The Butler over the weekend, which is amazing. It's an amazing film. And makes you a normal.
Drunk Oprah?
Drunk Oprah, hashtag Drunk Oprah. Awesome.
Okay.
Secondly, I mean, it makes you sick to your stomach, our history of, in this country about slavery. And let me just say, Rush, you are a moron. Yeah, exactly. Getting health care for 30 million Americans. Exactly like enslaving people and lynching them. Yeah, exactly.
Enslaving them with affordable health care. How good was Jane Fonda?
She was good. Oprah, though, awesome.
Really?
Drunk and not drunk.
Okay.
It was an amazing film. Hmm. Mark Levin unloaded on Republicans for being forced into doing the right thing on defunding Obamacare.
He's sarcastic and ultra right wing.
Right. He credited Tea Partiers for pressuring the phony pseudo-conservatives to fight to defund Obamacare, even as the threat of a government shutdown looms. He bashed President Obama for shredding the Constitution by pushing it through Congress. Then the Supreme Court upheld it, so I'm not sure how passed
how is
the law.
Unconstitutional like if the Supreme Court upheld it?
Right. He called President Obama...
Levin isn't much of a lawyer, is he?
He called Obama
He's not a smart man.
An imperial president imposing raw, brazen tyranny.
tyranny. I like my tyranny a little cooked. Just a little...
Yeah.
Kind of browned on
too
the outside.
Too much bacteria the other way. The boner...
Our message to the United States Senate is real simple. The American people don't want the government shut down, and they don't want Obamacare.
You got the first part right.
Right. okay.
American people
Swammer bourbon.
He does realize that this is never going to get through the Senate, and yeah. even if it does, the president's going to veto it, right?
Yeah.
He does get that.
Yes.
By the way, Ezra Klein, or as I call him,
Urza.
Right. Wrote a great piece in the Washington Post. John Boehner's Congress is a train wreck. He's the guy in charge of the worst performing part of one of the worst performing Congresses in history. You do have to give that to him. You have to.
That's something.
Big orange Boehner. You really do. Urza writes, After spending the past few months trying to figure out a way around passing a funding bill that defunded Obamacare, House Speaker John Boehner spent the morning passing a funding bill that defunded Obamacare. You know, we had a victory today for the American people, he said with a straight face. And frankly, we also had a victory for common sense. And then he quoted Max Baucus, who said, this is a train wreck, the Obamacare.
Right.
Right. Obamacare begins enrollment October 1st, actually begins delivering health insurance January 1st. Whether it's a train wreck remains to be seen. But here's what we can say. Under the leadership of Speaker Boehner, the 113th Congress and the House in particular is a complete and total train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Urza.
Or as we like to call him, Ezra.
Right.
Or as he likes to call himself, Ezra.
And probably everyone in his family.
Yeah.
Just call him Ted.
Yeah, that works.
I mean, but he actually breaks it down beautifully. I mean, it is almost stunning. He said that the Senate managed to pass comprehensive immigration reform with bipartisan support. The House effort fell apart. Senate passed a farm bill. House failed on that. The Senate passed a budget, moved to go to conference with the House. The House passed a budget, refused to go to conference with the Senate. The list goes on. Gun control. The appropriations process is a mess.
America.
We almost went over the fiscal cliff when Boehner's Plan B fell. Sequestration, what Boehner once called devastating, now the law of the land. The Fed can't pursue policies it thinks make sense because it's scared that Congress is going to drive the economy into a ditch. So far, the 113th Congress has passed 36 public laws, a lot of them about post offices and I don't really know.
Whatever.
Other stuff. That the 112th Congress, the last productive Congress since we began keeping records, passed 283 public laws. So at this rate, this will be the least productive Congress ever. And as you recall, he said, we should not be judged on how many new laws we create. We ought to be judged on how many laws we repeal. So how many has he repealed? None. He tried to repeal Obamacare. What are we into, 40-something times?
Yeah.
Wow.
He hasn't managed or really even tried to repeal any other major laws at all. So even by his own barometer, he is the biggest train wreck as a speaker in history.
I'm going to go back to the tavern.
Ezra points out the more terrifying thing, though. He says the most disturbing part of his strategy to avoid a government shutdown is to convince his members they should hold their fire for a whale of a fight over raising the debt ceiling. That moves the conflict to a much larger and more dangerous theater, one that could result in a global financial crisis.
Great.
For all the press Ted Cruz gets, his threat of a shutdown is far less irresponsible than Boehner's threat of default. And he is ultimately the guy in charge of the worst performing part of one of the worst performing Congresses in history. If he's looking for train wrecks to fix, he might start closer to home. Thank you, Urza.
Or as his mom likes to call him, Ezra.
Ezra. It's a terrifying. It really is. All right. 47 minutes after the hour, the Pope is being popey again. I don't know what this is really getting. It's getting disturbing. I don't know. It's very exciting. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. This is another, I forgot, a very entertaining edition of Republicans Eating Their Own.
Oh.
There are conservative group is starting to run Fire Boehner ads. John Boehner, and guess why, Jim? Starts with a B. Benghazi.
Benghazi.
Really?
A conservative group has launched an ad campaign to fire House Speaker John Boehner over his response to the attacks of Benghazi. Revive America USA. That's what they're all about. A conservative PAC that fought to impeach President Obama, is urging targeted viewers now to sign a petition to fire Boehner for his refusal to appoint a special committee to investigate Benghazi. All right. And meanwhile, Pope Frank is the only one speaking sense, is all I got. Mm-hmm. That's, could you please take your organ out? Pope Francis made one of his strongest attacks on the global economic system on Sunday, saying it can no longer be based on a god called money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe he could at least be Elizabeth Warren's vice president. Or president. Either way.
Not being an American citizen is
really?
A bit of a problem.
Right. Yeah. Well, listen. Well, one's the president now.
I'm not sure that I want the church that close to the top of government. Just saying.
Frank put aside his prepared text at a meeting with unemployed workers and improvised for nearly 20 minutes.
He vamped.
Right. He discarded his prepared speech after listening to a 45-year-old married father of three who lost his job with an energy company 4 years ago. The crowd of 20,000 people in a square chanted what Francis called a prayer for work, work, work. It sounds like a union rally.
Yeah.
Almost. Ooh. They cheered each time he spoke of the rights of workers.
What
the?
Oh, my God. This is a right-winger's worst nightmare, this Pope. And the personal devastation caused by joblessness. He said, we don't want this globalized economic system, which does us so much harm. Men and women have to be at the center of an economic system as God wants, not money. This world has become an idolater of a God called money. He brought tears to the eyes of some in the crowd when he told his own family story of emigration from Italy to Argentina, how they lost everything in the Great Depression. He's like a union president now.
Wow.
Elizabeth Warren meets a union president. And he said they got a hush now about the gays and the abortion. It's
Oh my God.
I hope he's got a good food taster.
Oh. Meanwhile, one of our pastors back here in the good old U.S. of A.
Yeah.
He blamed Jim, the Colorado floods on gays, marijuana.
Of course.
And abortions.
Sure.
Which must be offending, as he said, whoever wrote the Bible. He seems a little sketchy on his...
J.D. Salinger.
Yeah, J.D. Salinger wrote the Bible.
Right, right.
Sure.
Duh, Pastor.
Just before he wrote Catcher in the Rye.
Right. Pastor Kevin Swanson.
Please and thank you.
Mm-hmm. Host of the Generations with Vision radio show.
Oh, why do all these people have radio shows? Good God.
Because the generations need a vision.
They're chewing up valuable radio real estate.
And Pastor,
that we could be on.
Yes, one less. It's however many less stations I have because of that guy.
Yeah.
Okay. And vision is irrelevant on the radio. You can't see it.
Right. Pastor of the Reformation Church OPC.
Yeah, you know me.
Yeah, you know me. Yeah. I'm the Church of OPC.
Yeah, you know me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Took to the airwaves to blame the recent historic flooding in the state on marijuana, abortion,
right, of
and
course.
Decadent homosexual activity.
Ah.
Oh, not just plain old.
Oh, no. That's the good kind.
So, decadent gay people having abortions while smoking pot or causing weather.
Right, which he says are designed to offend, quote-unquote, whoever wrote the Bible.
If you're a pastor and you don't know who wrote the Bible...
It was Jekyll and Suzanne, I believe.
Yes. They cut out the dirty parts.
Right. On his Generations with Vision radio show, Swanson reminded listeners that State House Speaker Mark Ferrandino had been photographed by the Denver Post kissing his gay partner.
Therefore, there was weather.
Yeah, therefore there was weather. Exactly.
It's only logical.
Right. He said, is it a coincidence that this was the worst year politically in the history of Colorado? At least if you use God's law as a means of determining human ethics? What now?
What?
Our legislators committed the sexual acts on the front page of the Denver Post. Do you remember that? Well, they actually weren't doing it on the front page. They just
no, there are worse things they could do besides kiss.
Oh, okay. That doesn't seem that decadent to me.
They could get really graphic if they wanted to.
Wow.
Alrighty then.
It sounds like he needs a little help that our Republican legislators need as well.
Sometimes people say I'm stupid.
All my attempts to repeal Obamacare, it's hard to keep track of it.
I use it so I can keep up.
To remember people's names.
Dumbacity helps give you an edge.
No matter why you want more than half a brain, Dumbacity can help.
There's all these little games and puzzles based on some kind of brain thingy science.
And they really help me keep me from eating my own...
Whether you're trying to shut down the government or hold another Benghazi hearing, Dumbacity has the tools that help you out. Based on the science of neocon NeuroSillyBuddy, Dumbacity is a series of games and puzzles.
Exposure on my asparagus.
Designed to try to get some sort of brain activity going.
With the world as complex as it is, and with me watching so much Fox News, listening to Sean Hannity, my basic motor skills are under siege.
Let's see if we can help. Go to Dumbacity.com today.
Aw. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. You are a helper, as always. That's what we try to do. We just try to help. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour, we're going to talk Emmys and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
And why not? Terrorism in Kenya. Another mass shooting here, of course, in the United States. And Republicans about to shut the United States government down. Perhaps default on our debt and cause a global economic catastrophe.
Fantastic.
Happy Monday, everybody. 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
Damn you, Obama.
But who's got the new iPhone 5? Oh, my God.
Actually, if you don't have one now, you're not going to be able to get one until October.
Oh, no. That is, now there's real tragedy.
I'm just going to skip to iPhone 7.
As usual, we can claim the most douchetastic story about the iPhone 5.
Yeah.
Would you like the fun facts on this?
Sure.
iPhone frenzy takes ugly turn in Pasadena, Jim. Did you hear this?
Mm.
What is wrong with us and Apple products, really? People were waiting overnight around the world. In Paris, they pulled their collars up against the fog. In London, they set up massage tables for the weary because they were in line. Nowhere appears did the sale of the Apple's latest product degenerate the way it did in L.A. Mm. I love L.A. Love it. Scores of homeless people who have been collected on Skid Row and driven to the Apple Store in Pasadena were promised $40 cigarettes and fast food to wait in line overnight. Fist fights erupted. Police arrested at least two people. Dozens who live on the streets in downtown L.A. were stranded in Pasadena because the douche that hired them didn't pay them and then left them there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm sticking with my steam-driven iPhone.
Right.
Well, he didn't pay them because...
Right. He promised to pay them. A businessman promised them to wait in line for the maximum two vouchers.
Right.
Right. So then when the doors opened, the deal seemed to fall apart because the businessman, he was going to sell them overseas.
Right. And the homeless people were discovered as part of this scheme, and so they kicked the homeless people out of the line.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, he didn't actually. He had not, however, given them the actual money to pay for the phone.
Oh.
Right. He arranged for them to be given vouchers, enabling them to purchase the phone. So the doors opened. The homeless flooded into the store. Most of the vouchers appeared to have been useless. A mad scramble ensued.
Boy.
The businessman managed to buy at least a handful of phones, and then they kicked him out. The man then declined to pay the homeless people's vouchers.
It sounds like Paul Ryan's premium support.
Exactly.
Yeah, the hell
exactly.
Of a voucher.
Exhausted crowd erupted in anger. The police...
The vouchers turned out to be Subway Sub Club cards.
Police, for the businessman's own protection, escorted him away in a squad car. Anyway, and then one of the homeless people said they need to bring him back to pick up the people he brought here. We have no way to get home. What a douche-tastic...
Wow. It must be better to use one of the original cell phones or like World War II walkie-talkie and make your head glow if you talked on it for too long.
This is how I can tell I'm old and cranky. I love this article. Can I have some nostalgia music, please?
Sure.
I love this article in the New York Times yesterday. Call it a digital baby steps, but smartphone addicts are starting to curb the habit. You know what I'm saying? What? Seriously? Conversation? Let's look into it, people. Whenever Michael Carl, the fashion market director at Vanity Fair, goes out to dinner with friends, he plays something called phone stack game. Everyone places their phones in the middle of the table. Whoever looks at their device before the check arrives picks up the tab. I like it. I like it.
That's great.
Mark Jacobs, the fashion designer, didn't want to sleep next to a beeping gizmo, so he banned digital devices from the bedroom of his house that he shared with an audience during a recent screening of Disconnect, a film that dramatizes how technology has alienated people from one another. I agree.
What did you say? I was texting.
I know. See, I know. See, you don't pay attention to me, do you? Okay. Whether it's a physical barrier, no iPads at the dinner table, or a conceptual one, turn off all devices by 11, users say these weaning techniques are improving their relationships and their sanity.
You and I saw each other face-to-face yesterday.
I know that. Well, only to fix my gadgets.
In order to fix your iPads.
Yes.
But still.
And that makes you really realize what a loser you are, Jim, because I had to fill out, privacy questions, they're just set your privacy settings.
Yeah.
And nearly all of them involved
relationships,
your
children.
Your spouse and your kids.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, you know what? Don't
Where did
rub
you
it
go
in.
On your first date?
Your husband and wife, blah, blah. How did your first kids, blah?
And you were left with, like, seeds and stems. Like,
no, I was like, there's virtually none of these questions that apply to me, except, yes, I had parents, and I went to school. Oh, boy. Loser. Loser, loser, loser. Speaking of which, oh, here's a good tweet. Paul tweeted, those who refuse to learn from history have congregated in the Republican Party. Thank you very much. Yes, they have. Oh, this is a, because, you know, we are helpers, and we sometimes do science stack. We blind people with science because there are syndromes.
She blinded me with science!
Right. Like ODS, Obama Derangement Syndrome,
yes,
which we know well.
I'm sure.
Who wrote this? Let's say Nance, someone named Nance Greggs. Just a cautionary tale,
okay.
Unsolicited testimonial.
I have the cautionary music playing.
If you believe the following, you're probably suffering from Obama Derangement Syndrome. We should probably find one of our, PSAs on this. If Obama said it, it's a lie. When it's proven to be the truth, he got lucky, because it's just a crazy coincidence that his
lie stumbled into the truth.
Turned out to be the truth after all. If he knew it was the truth, he never would have said it in the first place. If Obama makes a speech about a specific issue, he's just spewing pretty words. If Obama doesn't speak about a specific issue, he's trying to hide something. Or he should have spoken about something else entirely, because when he gets specific about one issue, that means he's ignoring all the other really important issues he should be speaking about, those issues being whatever it was that he didn't mention. If Obama did it, it must have been the wrong thing to do. When it turns out to have been the right thing to do, then Obama never did it. And if he did do it, he did it in the wrong way. It was too little, too late, or it was too much and too soon.
Right.
It went too far, while at the same time it
not
didn't go
far
enough. And even if it turns out to have been right, it's still wrong. If Obama proposed it, it can't possibly work. When it does work, it was someone else's idea all along.
It's right in the wrong way.
An idea he blatantly stole just to make himself look good. That's because he knew it would work all along, even though it couldn't possibly work. If Obama stands firm, he's being stubborn. If he seeks compromise, he's caving.
Weak.
Right. Obama should lead while following. He should be more hands-on while staying out of it completely. This is awesome. Why can't he take the reins and do what must be done? Why can't he mind his own damn business? If Obama acts, he shouldn't have. If he doesn't act, he should have. If he said he was going to act, he was lying. If he repeatedly said he was going to do something and then he actually does it, he only did it because a bunch of keyboard warriors held his feet to the fire and forced him to do it. All credit for anything and everything belongs to them. If a survey poll shows the vast majority of Democrats are pleased with Obama's performance in office, it is skewed, biased, and not to be relied on. If a respected liberal icon speaks favorably about Obama's actions, someone got to them and forced them to say it. Hello! If a long-reviled GOPer slams Obama, well, even a broken clock is right twice a day. If Obama achieves something, it's a trivial accomplishment of no consequence. If he fails to achieve something, the consequences are dire. In fact, it probably means the end of civilization as we know it. If Obama appoints someone to any position, it's the wrong choice. He always should have picked the other guy. You know, the one everyone really wanted, the one who, if Obama had picked him, would have been declared the worst guy for the position the minute his appointment was announced. If Obama stands up for gay lesbian rights, he's pandering. If he initiates programs that help the poor and homeless, he's pandering. If he offers proposals that will strengthen the middle class, he's pandering. And the ACA, just a blatant attempt to pander to the millions of people who need affordable health care, pre-existing conditions notwithstanding, and those who actually die without it. Apparently, the panderer-in-chief has no shame. If Obama really cared about democracy, he'd act more like a dictator. If he knew anything about diplomacy, he would tell all foreign leaders who run their countries in ways he doesn't approve of to go themselves. If he was really concerned about national security, he would dismantle the military. And if he truly cherished the privacy of all Americans, he would simply shut down the NSA, along with Facebook and all other social media that invite the sharing of personal information, because you can't be too careful with this. To those who ODS tell the tale, Obama's too stupid to know that the Republicans are not on his side, too dumb to know he's in over his head, and way too idiotic to govern a nation. The fact that under his guidance the economy has improved, job numbers are up, the deficit's being reduced at an amazing pace is just, you guessed it, dumb luck!
Lucky.
Thank you, Bob Woodward!
Stumbled into it.
Makes one wonder how such a dumbass was somehow smart enough to get elected twice. Thank you! Nance Greggs, who's on my future wife list, and there is help.
Kenyan socialist Muslim.
Meet Skeeter.
He raised taxes 14 times.
As you can tell, Skeeter is afflicted with Obama derangement syndrome. Skeeter is unable to distinguish wild fantasy from reality. There is no cure, but there is hope.
He's arrogant.
For less than the price of 2 decaf triple lattes, you can sponsor someone with Obama derangement syndrome.
All he does is blame Bush for
everything Bush did.
With your help, Skeeter and thousands like him can receive the equivalent of an eighth grade education.
Deaf family.
Learning basic civics, economics, science.
He had a big hip-hop barbecue.
And hygiene.
Community organizer, communist Hitler.
We might not be able to cure him.
They're not rich people, they're job creators.
But we might prevent Skeeter from running for a second congressional term.
Obama is in cahoots with Barbara Streisand and Al Gore, who has a big house.
Please help us erase Obama derangement syndrome.
Madrasa.
A half-baked thought is a terrible thing to waste.
Gosh, Madras is an oldie but a goodie. Yeah. I forgot about that one.
Oh, boy.
And a communist Hitler, which is always...
Right.
So historically. Huh?
What?
What?
They did have a non-aggression pact early on, Hitler and Stalin, but that wasn't because of any ideological affinity.
No.
They didn't want to step on each other's toes while they were carving up Poland, basically.
Aye. By the way, HuffPost, I was talking to, who was it, Eric Boulder, about mm-hmm. this Obama's strategy of talking to countries instead of going to war might just be crazy enough to work. I know. It's
what?
Something else he's doing wrong. He's following from behind and leading from the wrong way and not what?
You're allowed to do that?
They also noticed the thing I've noticed. Boy, has he gotten gray.
Oh, well,
when a less gray-haired Obama declared early in his first presidential campaign he'd be willing to meet with leaders of estranged nations like Iran and Syria without preconditions, he was roundly chastised by both Democrats and Republicans alike for naivete. Now, after six arduous, solitary years of standing by a policy of preferring accord with rogue nations over recourse to full-on war, his approach seems to be on the verge of bearing fruit. And as I said to Eric, there'll be a reason it's bad that we're not bombing Iran. We'll figure it. I'm sure they'll figure it out at that point. But they talked about what's happened with Assad agreeing to give up his weapons. And in Iran, a new moderate president has responded to a personal letter from mm-hmm. Obama, engaging in direct communication for the first time in years, hinting he might be willing to pull back from his nuclear program for reduction of sanctions. If the diplomatic tracks in Syria and Iran pan out, proponents say they could point the way to the resolution of two of the most significant international crises facing the nation without any American-caused warfare. The former State Department official said the administration's willingness to show both strength and smarts is paying off. Remember he said that? He said, I want to have a tough foreign policy, but a smart one?
Yeah.
Seems to me he's pretty much doing everything that he said he was going to do.
Shocking all.
That's important now. Okay. On Syria, the president demonstrated that there was a clear point that he did not want the regime to pass and then took a window of opportunity to cut a deal that actually advances American security interests even more. An ancillary benefit has been that it demonstrated to the Iranians that the U.S. is thinking before it's shooting, and that's a pretty new trend for the U.S. And then they're talking about, what's his name, Rouhani is going to be in New York for the U.N. Mm-hmm. assembly this week. His arrival brings perhaps the greatest hope for a diplomatic breakthrough between Washington and Tehran in recent memory, in turn a possible vindication of Obama's refusal to condone military strikes against the country. This past week has seen a number of unprecedented overtures from Rouhani, including a rare interview and an op-ed that was in the Washington Post, in which he called for a new era of constructive engagement between them and the West, which would have been called French and gay back when George Bush was president.
Der Frieden ist ausgebrochen.
They would have freedom fries again.
Right.
Or whatever.
He also told NBC he has complete authority
freedom
to negotiate a deal over the peaceful
freedom shawarma
of the nuclear plant. I'm going to New York this week. I'm going to make sure it all happens.
You're going to be broadcasting from New York
on
Friday.
Yes, I am Friday. Yes, I am. I'm going to New York for my birthday weekend, and I'm going to go. I'll take care of the whole Iranian. I'll get it all sorted out.
And we're going to have some cool in-studio guests for you.
Oh, that's right. Yay. By the way, thank God we didn't get involved in Syria, Jim. I was reading in the LA Times over the weekend, Assad's other army. Remember we were saying what a bag of vipers Syria is? It's a bigger bag of vipers.
Bag of vipers. And glass. Bag of glass vipers.
Oh, God.
There are militias now, neighborhood militias that are not actual part of the Syrian army, but they're helping the army. It's an umbrella group of militias that has emerged as kind of a parallel national army. That's just another group to add to all the groups in the bag of vipers.
I dare say that's not a well-regulated militia.
Mm. Well, if they're just armed with umbrellas, that'd be fine.
Pro-government militias that sprang up with official encouragement after the uprising began in 2011 have been transformed in the last year from ill-organized neighborhood watch groups. Oh, boy. They're a bunch of armed George Zimmerman's.
Oh, God.
Into a coherent paramilitary organization. Oh, dear.
You got skitters in my hummus.
God. Oh, boy. Oy. Oy vey. Yeah. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Why don't they do what they say? Say what they mean. One thing leads to another. Tell me something wrong. I know I listen to love, but one thing leads to another. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. That's right. Mama will be broadcasting live from New York City on Friday.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that John Bugelsang's in town. He will be in studio. Hot Bree, Melissa Fitzgerald, will be live in studio. And also, the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, Shelley Wright.
That's right.
Will be live in studio in New York City.
Bugelsang.
And then I'm doing the Ed Show on MSNBC.
Oh, you're doing Ed?
I'm doing Ed. Live from 30 Rock.
Does Wendy know?
Yes, what were you saying, John?
Oh, John has been traveling for his movie, and so we don't know if he's going to be in studio yet, but we're working on
it. Or on the phone or whatever. Yeah. All right. Okay. So we were talking about, you came and did my iOS, not my iOS, but my tech support yesterday.
We updated your mini iPad to iOS 7.
No, so when you say we, I did. But then you did the other stuff. But anyway, my point is...
So if you want to get a taste for how iOS 7 is, the new one, use your mini iPad.
Okay. He wouldn't do it on my iPhone, Jim, because he's afraid it would be too startling for Grandma.
Yeah.
It's too much change.
It would
all
frighten
once.
Her.
It would frighten me and bewilder me. I would be like John McCain. I'd be like, what? Why do I have to keep updating my apps?
Yeah, but with iOS 7, you don't have to keep updating your apps. It does it by itself.
Did you see Grampy threw a little Twitter fit over the weekend?
Uh-oh.
About the Dodgers? This is so ridiculous.
Really?
All right, you and I disagree because you're from...
I'm a Diamondbacks fan.
Oh.
And I thought what the Dodgers did was rather douche-tastic.
So they jumped in the Diamondbacks pool. Big deal.
After they were told not to.
Oh, please, pool monitor.
After they were asked not to.
It was harmless fun, for God's sake. They won
it was poor sportsmanship.
Oh, please.
It was poor sportsmanship.
Grampy. He tweeted, no class act by a bunch of overpraid, immature, arrogant, spoiled brats.
Well, what McCain said was awful.
I expect you'll want to see my angry, crotchety grandpa discount card.
Sir, this card has expired.
But it's good for a lifetime.
Well, yours expired.
Get off my lawn and out of my pool. Brian Wilson responded in a tweet, Senator Mick Complain knows a thing or two about coming in second and watching someone take a plunge in the pool. I mean pole.
That's exactly what Brian Wilson would say, though.
The Beach Boy?
No.
Please. Doesn't he have more important things to do, really? Dodgers jump in a pool because they won and that's something.
They were asked not to.
Okay. The Emmys last night, as we mentioned, Breaking Bad won Best Drama, Modern Family Best Comedy. Jeff Daniels, who has been awesome. I've been watching Newsroom back-to-back. Claire Danes won Best
Actor. You've been binge-watching
I've been binge-watching.
As the kids
Newsroom.
Say.
Yeah, because I'm a geek. Jim, this is very sad. Scott Thorson was not invited to the Emmys. Baby Boy did not sleep tight that night, apparently.
Maybe he was sleeping too tight. Maybe
he was not invited, despite Behind the Candelabra's Emmy nominations. He was played by Matt Damon, of course.
And Behind the Candelabra won for Best TV Movie or something.
Right. Baby Boy sleeping tight elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, not at the Emmys.
Computer says no.
Oh, dear. And then the other controversy was over the individual Emmy, for the people that have died this year, for stars that have died. This was a little weird to me. The exclusion of Jack Klugman from the Emmy Awards tribute that includes Corey Monteith is an insult to the memory of the late TV veteran and three-time Emmy winner, his son said.
I agree.
That's bizarre.
I agree.
They would have left him out.
Well, no, they didn't. He was in the group one.
Right.
Larry Hagman died. Charles Durning also died. And Jack Klugman this year. So they were in the group.
They had five individual ones,
right.
Which kind of... singled out big deaths this year, and then there was a montage of the other deaths.
Right,
and the five individuals were James Gandolfini, Corey Monteith, Gene Stapleton, and as you said, our friend Rob Reiner made all of us cry.
Oh,
with
God,
that.
Yeah.
Jonathan Winters and Family Ties producer Gary David Goldberg.
Right.
So I just thought it was a little... He said, his son said, I don't mean to say anything disparaging about Corey, but he was a kid who won no Emmys, and it was a self-induced tragedy. That seems a little, just a little harsh, because there's a whole generation.
Well,
that
Corey Monteith speaks to a whole different generation that Jack Klugman will never speak to. So, I think maybe they should have added a sixth.
A sixth individual. Perhaps. I mean, I love Jack Klugman too, but anyway, it was just I don't remember there being that much controversy over the in memoriam. But anyway,
they've never singled people out before.
Yeah.
That
it's
was
always,
new.
It's always been the montage.
And it just seemed like one big long funeral the way they did it last night because they kept stopping down for these.
But Rob Reiner had a really nice suit in addition to being very touching. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm like a wild tiger, free and independent. It takes a huge dosage of tranquilizers to affect me.
That's Wendy Malick.
Yes, it is.
Yay, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The interesting thing is, Grampy, when he's not having a little Twitter fit over Dodgers or whatever, he makes sense sometimes.
In the United States Senate, we will not repeal or defund Obamacare. We will not. And to think we can is not rational.
All right. See? Senator Frankie Pence, the only one talking sense in the Senate.
It's not the policy. It's not the policy.
No, it is not the policy. That's who's trying to tell them. Yeah. Howard in Manhattan, you're on the egg. If one more Republican calls it a bill. It is
right.
A bill. It's the law. Hello, Howard.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I was just at my dentist 30 minutes ago, and he showed me a letter he got about the Affordable Care Act saying that all businesses, including him as a dentist, cannot renew the policies for their employees that they had for years. They can only take a new policy, and they can't tailor it specifically for their employees. And he was furious. I mean, no warning, no nothing. Just got the letter this morning. So I thought I'd call up and mention it to you. Nobody ever heard of that until he got the letter.
The letter is from who?
The Affordable Care Act, whoever.
It's from the Affordable Care Act. Yeah. Why do I sense that might be a right-wing talking point that's just gone out?
An act doesn't send out mail.
Really?
It has no franking.
Obamacare. Hello, it's Obamacare calling.
It has no franking rights.
Signed... I am Obamacare.
Hello.
I am ordering you to cease and desist.
It was signed.
Go ahead and die.
Obamacare. Hello.
It's the Obamacare death panel calling.
I smelled, underdone talking point. Just like it just came out, and so he wasn't quite sure. It's always interesting, the timing, that just 30 minutes ago, just in time for him to call my show, because we're off in about 20 minutes, Jim. So it's interesting that Obamacare would send a letter.
From Obamacare, and they told me that I need to die now so that the Obama family can survive. While the rest of us
die
in misery.
That is eerie timing, isn't it, Chris? Yeah. That Obamacare called his dentist?
Obamacare called
just
before
now. I get off the air. Huh. Well, that is good timing and nicely
Hello, Obamacare.
Done to get your talking point in.
This is Mr. Johnson's dentist. The deuce you say.
Signed, Obamacare.
Wow, that was clunky.
All right. That was, go back and work on that. That was a little doughy.
Reminds me of a movie my parents saw in the 50s. It's Harbor Patrol, my dentist has been murdered. What, you call the Harbor Patrol? Because you did, what?
What kind of movie was that?
I don't know. That was random.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh, you know what? They are not beating up on Miley Cyrus. The Blurred Lines model... It was in the actual Blurred Lines video with Robin Thicke.
The hot chick?
Ellie Evans.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, that one. She said, I definitely would say I did not approve. It was distasteful. The way she did it was... The way she had smoke blown in her face and dry humped Robin Thicke was much more tasteful.
I'm sure.
I was more disappointed. Disappointed than anything.
Disappointed!
Right? I don't know. It was a little... I was a little extreme. I couldn't believe what I was watching, honestly. I just loved that the model that also did the same thing, but without the giant styrofoam finger. It's like, what a slut. Pink is jumping into the twerking fray.
She's an artist, damn it!
She thinks twerking is tacky. She said the Disney star can do better. She has condemned the risque performance. She said, am I into it? Miley's twerking? No, I think it's tacky. She's really freaking talented. She's beautiful. She can sing her ass off. And to go up there and do that, she's cheating herself and she's cheating the rest of us.
But you know what? She showed during the VMAs that she really can't sing her ass off because she was off key the whole time.
Yeah, no, it was just bad.
It was a bad performance, foam finger aside.
Pink admitted that she loves to twerk, but not in public. She said it's not appropriate in public.
Well,
she said, I twerk all the time like a mofo. There's a place for that. It's not on the stage. Wow.
Well, when Pink puts on a concert, I mean, she does the whole Cirque du Soleil thing over the audience. I mean, she puts on a concert.
Same. Right.
She doesn't just shake her butt up and down.
Right. That's just for Corey Hart or whoever. Is that her husband?
Carrie Hart.
Carrie Hart.
Corey Hart sang
Hart?
Sunglasses at Night.
Oh,
Corey
right.
Haim?
Right.
What?
Right. She's married to Corey Haim?
What?
What? This is big news. California team named the nation's first transgender homecoming queen. Did you see that out here in California? 16-year-old Cassidy Campbell received her crown during the halftime of Marina High's homecoming football game in Huntington Beach Friday night. Friday Night Lights right here.
Behind the orange curtain, no less.
Right, exactly. The Marina High, things is a change then. The Marina High principal said, we're proud of the message from Home of the Vikings has been one of the equity, acceptance, tolerance, and respect. High school principal from Orange County, for God's sakes.
Go him.
I credit the new pope.
Exactly. I think the new pope should take credit for everything.
And you know what? I saw pictures of her. She's a beautiful girl.
Yes. Hello, Dave in Wisconsin. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Steph. You know, I just want to mention on this Obamacare, I'm about to be completing a divorce here, and it's something that has actually given me a lot of comfort because I'll lose my health care and I'll be able to get new health care if I have pre-existing conditions, which of course I don't. But that's something that does provide some comfort to people, and a lot of us go through this divorce, and I think it might be a point that's lost on folks. And Obamacare called me and told me that.
Right, yeah. Good, good.
Hello, this is Obamacare.
I am Obamacare. I am the voice of the Obamacare. Robocall.
You will now cease and desist. Resistance is futile.
No, you will just cease.
You will cease.
Jennifer in Fresno. Hi, Jen.
Hello.
Hi.
First off, the dentist who received that, you know, magical letter, it would have come from his insurance company.
Right.
Right.
Letting him know that he would have to update to a new plan at renewal. They certainly wouldn't tell him you're not covered or you can't renew. And the other thing that I find funny is, in D.C., you know, Congress is so against Obamacare and so against all of these exchanges and everything. Please tell me why they're setting up the exchange for D.C. for all of their staffers to be enrolled. Huh. So you don't want it, but you want to take advantage of it?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm confused.
Did you suss out a whiff of hypocrisy? What? Oh, okay. Also out here in California, I was looking at this story, Jim. West Hollywood fur ban took effect on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Merchants are outraged, I tell you, outraged. West Hollywood's ban on the sale of fur clothing took effect. Many of the city's high-fashion boutiques are figuring out workarounds or making plans to move.
Who needs furs in Southern California?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, one of Johnny Carson's wives had like a $40,000 a month fur budget in the divorce settlement. It's like, what?
It's like...
It's L.A.
72 and sunny.
In Beverly Hills.
Yeah. Well, in Chicago?
Chicago,
you can make an excuse for it. Sure.
While some residents praise the city's socially conscious stand on fur, the ban has angered some of the business owners. We had this little kerfuffle years ago in Beverly
Good
Hills.
Heavens.
Remember they had to put tags saying that the animals were killed in a... Really?
Humane.
Really? You don't say, Jim.
You don't say.
Oh, why, Thurston, I simply adore this fur coat, don't you?
Oh, it's lovely, lovey.
Oh, why, Thurston, look at the tag. This coat is made of animals that were clubbed to death by drunken Canadians.
Heavens, that simply won't do. Oh, boy. Do you have a coat made of animals that were killed in some other fashion?
Why, yes. This coat is made entirely of depressed chinchillas who committed suicide. They were at Jonestown. They drank the Kool-Aid.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Wonderful.
We'll take that.
Wrap it up, boy.
Were we recording in a coffee can in those days?
What was with our recording equipment back then?
Well, it was analog. It was so long ago.
God in heaven. Okay.
Today, hey, President Roosevelt ordered the...
Okay. Hey, everybody.
And time marches on.
Anti-Semitic Elmo's back, everybody.
Oh great. I thought we'd gotten rid of him.
You remember anti-Semitic Elmo? Yeah, he's
Times Square.
Right.
Yes.
He's back in the news after pleading guilty to grand larceny after attempting to export millions of dollars from the Girl Scouts.
From the
Girl Scouts.
The Girl Scouts?
Have millions of dollars.
He's not a nice Elmo. Anti-Semitic Elmo became a national sensation last year after a YouTube video showed him wandering Central Park, ranting and raving about Jewish costume makers, berating unhappy parents. I work for John Gotti. You. and cursing at no one in particular.
Ah, that's always a good sign.
And we've now learned he was once deported from Cambodia for running a website called Welcome to Rape Camp.
What?
And his birth name is Dan Sandler, but he legally had it changed to Adam Sandler several years ago. Which I'm sure throws the actual Adam Sandler no
end. I'm sure the actual Adam Sandler has some lawyers.
Yes, and so does the actual Children's Television Workshop owner of Elmo.
Yeah. Adam Sandler, who ironically is a Jew.
What?
So I don't know why you would want to change your name if you are anti-Semitic Elmo. I wouldn't think you'd be a fan of the Hanukkah song.
Really. No, no, not at all.
Anti-Semite Maury Feldstein today. What?
What?
How did? What?
What the? Huh? Okay. Wowee, Roy Rogers, you know, the Cowboy King. Yikes.
Yeah, I was reading about that.
Don DeLos.
Wow.
Yikes.
Happy trails to me.
He had a three-way with porn star Linda Lovelace and a Vegas showgirl named April, according to Linda Lovelace.
Wow.
She's quoted in the book as revealing Rogers began whooping my butt real hard, telling her, when I'm in the saddle, I ride rough.
Really?
A sore Lovelace told him, I feel sorry for Trigger.
Wow.
It'll take a while to get that out of my head. Okay. Let's take a second to
please
come back from that.
He's an entirely different kind of cowboy.
Yes. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beauty. It's fun. It's healthy. It's good exercise. The kids just love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. As we continue a little celebrity stack. By the way, did you see Joy Behar on Jay Leno? Because you remember he apparently had a fling with Sharon Osbourne, we learned last week. On Thursday's Tonight Show, she needled Leno about it, reading from a story that quoted Osbourne, who said, she says, there's a reason God gives people those chins, and I found out the reason why.
Really?
Which I didn't. So Christina Aguilera was sitting on the couch with her. She said, Christina, I would like to know what that means, that you give good chin or what? That's what I wonder. Does it mean you have a big, or what does that mean? I don't understand what that even means. It's just weird. Right. What are you looking for? Chris is looking aggrieved. Okay, this is...
You asked me to look for something, so I'm looking for it.
Oh, that. Okay. Here's a creepy story.
That was
story.
So 3 seconds ago.
I know. Whatever. Here's a creepy story. L.A. police officer accused of inappropriately treating Whitney Houston's corpse.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear this story? According to the formal complaint, he contaminated and mistreated Houston's body, making sexual remarks about her body.
Oh.
According to the report, he knelt beside Houston for no legitimate law enforcement reason and removed the sheet to an area below her pubic region. He then came in close proximity to touching the body while making inappropriate comments that the decedent looked attractive for a woman of her age and current state.
Oh, God.
And damn, she's still looking good,
she's
huh?
She's still fresh.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure Gary Bauer would appreciate it.
You know who else is still looking pretty good for a man of his advanced years? Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
Who's about to be a great-grandfather.
Great-grandfather.
Oh,
his eldest daughter is expected to give birth to her first child. Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sunkissed Prune, Geritol, and Depends Adult Undergarments present... The Rolling Stone!
Stormy Ed! Help me up! Keith, I've fallen, I can't get up. I think I broke my hip. Hey, you! Get off my lawn! Dad, kids will turn the hose on you. Get off me lawn! Nappy time.
Same ticket prices still? Oh, well. Oh, well. Jane Fonda rolled her eyes while lunching with fellow fitness guru Richard Simmons at a swanky the Beverly Hills Polo Lounge.
That must have been a weird lunch.
Yeah. When she spotted a hyperventilating lady fan, the woman didn't give her so much as a glance and gushed to Simmons, "I'm your biggest fan. I'm so thrilled to meet you and have an autograph." He happily obliged as the visibly annoyed Jane sat totally unnoticed. You know why I love that story?
Why?
Because I told you I met her. She was not warm.
No. Richard Simmons almost ran over my ex-wife.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
I told you I took an aerobics class taught by Richard Simmons.
I took one taught by Jane Fonda when I was in college.
Okay.
No, I was at Larry King's retirement party.
Okay.
At CNN for it's you know.
Right.
So it wasn't
high
like I was
impact aerobics.
It wasn't like I accosted her in an alley. I just said hello, and she was like,
And then she needed knee and hip replacements, I believe, after all that high impact aerobics.
Right. She was very good in The Butler, though, I have to say. I saw it as Nancy Reagan.
Sure.
I bet she was.
And she's also very good in The Newsroom.
Yes. Oh, she was good in that
as
well.
She's very good in that.
I'll be sure to mention it to her next time I have an awkward encounter.
Well, it seems we've had her on this show twice, and you keep bringing that story up, and she's like,
Oh, I don't remember that. See, I'm so old, I don't remember that. Have we had her on? Yes, I have.
We've had her on twice.
Oh, okay.
Don't bring up the anti-aircraft gun in Vietnam. Don't. No.
No.
Zip it. Hold back with your name on it.
We have to, you know what? We should institute this policy here. Texting Bill Murray. Bill Murray is driving everyone crazy, reportedly, on the set of his new movie. He refuses to speak face-to-face with anybody. Even the director is not allowed to talk to him. The director has to text him.
Okay. Maybe he's had a little too much Suntory whiskey.
If I wasn't so technophobic, I would do that. Because I'm frankly sick of talking to both of you, and you're sick of talking to me. It's been years now.
Well, I mean, you really only communicate with me through texts anymore until the morning.
Until I'm paid to speak to you.
Exactly. I mean, that's why I've been putting off coming to your house for so long, because that means I have to talk to you in the outside hours.
Yesterday he goes, "Am I released now?" You're like an animal I was holding captive.
Released into the wild.
Yeah. Wow, tell me this story would have ended differently in any place else than the Hamptons. Random woman wakes to discover Alicia Keys partying in her kitchen.
I hate when that happens.
Woman who is speculated to be the wife of a billionaire South African mining tycoon.
Sifika.
Who isn't? Who isn't? Sure. Who hasn't been the wife of a South African mining tycoon? Initially assumed the ruckus that woke her up was that of her young daughter returning home from a night out at one of Long Island's nightclubs. When she went downstairs to check, she discovered Alicia Keys, Keys' husband, Swizz Beatz,
right? Sure.
And a party posse. Hanging out in her kitchen. A source reportedly told the paper that Keys, who was renting a home nearby, entered the stranger's house because she was confused.
Or drunk.
Page Six reports that all parties saw the humor in the mishap. Yeah, oh sure, this would have ended this anywhere, but... Which is what Gawker says. If it had happened anywhere other than this specific, evidently extremely chill residence in the Hamptons, it probably would have ended with multiple arrests and at least one fatality.
Yeah.
But...
Swizz Beatz.
They thought it was hilarious. That's what happens with rich people. Oh, you've walked into the wrong mansion.
Oh, good heavens. We were expecting a completely different pop star in our kitchen.
This wasn't who we booked. Jim, here's some news for you. Kate from Moss to go full frontal in Playboy.
Ooh. Damn.
It's their 60th anniversary cover
girl. Isn't she a stick figure? There's nothing to pose.
She turns 40 the same month that it hits the newsstands.
Kate Moss is like, she has...
Listen, Jim will take
her measurements are like...
12.
You know, there's no... Yeah.
She can't even fill a centerfold.
Yeah.
She'll disappear on the pages.
It'll be like on a little card.
She'll hide behind the stapler.
Yeah.
Or the staple, you know.
I can't see anything.
Yeah.
The staple's covering it.
What?
On the other side of the spectrum, People magazine has picked our friend, Kerry Washington, as best dressed star.
Mm-hmm.
Scandal star Kerry Washington, the world's best dressed woman, according to People magazine. We love her. Smart, political, awesome actress, and now best dressed.
And she got to introduce Diane Carroll last night.
Oh, that's right.
On the Emmys.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And didn't she speak German in the Tarantino movie, Django Unchained?
Oh, I don't know.
I didn't see Django Unchained yet.
This story out of Jersey. Did you say this? A New Jersey judge who's been moonlighting as a comedian for the past two decades has been forced to abandon his bench after the state Supreme Court ruled this week that his comedy career was incompatible with a code of judicial conduct.
Guilty! Just kidding. I'm funny, you're right. Psych!
Oh, please, we all know a judge can be a joke, don't we, Clarence Thomas?
What he said.
I went all that way just to get a Clarence Thomas.
Great.
Joke. All right, and this is one for real before we go. This is why you're fat.com. Really? Really, America? Man spends $140 at McDonald's and makes a McEverything sandwich. If you've ever wanted to go to McDonald's and make one giant sandwich out of every sandwich they offer, the good news is you can for $140.33.
Okay.
All right.
Nick at Dude Foods.
Then there's the medical bills.
He claimed that building the McEverything has been his number one item on his bucket list. Recently completed this horrifying feat, and good for you.
Did he eat it?
America.
He may kick the bucket a little sooner than he planned.
All right, that's it for us. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.